Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. As Arthur shared, my name is Danny, and I'm the pastor of Port Towns Church up in Bladensburg, Maryland, which, if you know kind of the University of Maryland area, we're pretty close to Hyattsville, if that rings any bells, close to the University of Maryland. And I've been coming here to preach now fairly regularly, but I missed last month, so I just wanted to give you all a brief update that our session, which is the group of elders that are overseeing the church plant, I got to meet with them in January, and we were unanimously approved to have our launch date set for Easter of this year. So very excited to be able to have that prepared and ready to go. And so we're getting all the things lined up. I was just talking with Arthur this morning about trying to figure out how to purchase sound equipment because I'm not particularly adept in that field. And yet here we are, got to figure it out. But please be continuing to pray for us as we try to reach our community with the gospel and invite people to join in our community and fellowship of believers. This morning, we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26, where Paul is talking to the congregation about their unity in Christ, their unity to one another as one body, though being many members. So if you'll please read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word once again this morning that edifies us, that guides us in our faith and in our practice. God, we pray that you would help us through the words recorded here by Paul, that we might be able to learn more about what it means to live as one body, though many members. We pray that you would guide our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I learned something new this week, a new concept that I think is pretty fun because it has alliteration to it. And it's a term that describes the mental image that we create when we think about something. So when we think about a concept or a person or even a place, we can kind of create a mental image of that space. And the term is called a cognitive collage. A cognitive collage. So let me give you an example of one of these. You probably already have a cognitive collage in your head for this example I'm giving you. You just didn't have a name for it, but now you do. Think about your neighborhood, right? And think about the landmarks that are in your neighborhood. Think about the street signs that label some of the names of your streets. Think about the particular trees in your neighborhood that stand out, that always dump leaves in a particular corner of your yard or in your neighborhood. right? How the sidewalks are laid out, even. And now think about memories that you've had in your neighborhood, right? Think about the place where you almost got in a car accident because you missed that one stop sign. Or think about that time you saw the weird animal in your backyard, right? How about the guy across the street who doesn't often cut his grass, right? We have memories of these things. And then finally, think about the boundaries that distinguish your neighborhoods. They could be streets, they could be rivers, they could be bridges or railroad tracks, whatever it is that distinguishes your neighborhood. And when you think about those things, those landmarks, those boundaries, those memories, all collectively, those are called cognitive collages. And so we can do these things for physical spaces. We do them for ideas as well, right? When you were a child, when you thought about math, you probably thought about numbers and maybe addition and then subtraction. But then as you got older, you added on multiplication and division, geometry, algebra, add on whole numbers, positive numbers, negative numbers, imaginary numbers even. And then you learn the word problems, right? Even had ability to tell us that math had a connection to the real world, right? When you need to learn how when two trains are going towards each other, one going 55 miles an hour and the other going 35 miles per hour, when are they going to cross when they're 45 miles apart, right? Very practical things for us to know in our daily lives. But what I want us to do this morning is to be helping us to expand our cognitive collage that you might have for a particular theological concept. Some of you might have not heard of this theological term or concept before, so maybe we're going to be creating a cognitive collage for the first time, but others who have heard about this, it might be an attempt to try to expand those boundaries and borders when we think about this term. So what is the term? Well, there's this term that theologians who are people who have spent their lives studying the Bible and how the Bible should affect our lives, right? They've come up with a term to help us think about the application of the gospel to our lives. And that term is union with Christ. Union with Christ. I don't want to see how many people have heard of that term, union with Christ, before. We got not too many. So we're going to be creating new cognitive collages for a lot of people today. For some, it might be an expansion of it. But if you were to look up that term, union with Christ, in Amazon, like if you had the app or went on your computer and looked, you would find literally hundreds of books written on the topic. In some instances, there are books that are 400, 500-page volumes by university professors on the topic. Other instances, there's pastors and lay leaders who have written about how the union of Christ affects our relationship with our friends or how we think about our habits. And this concept, right, union with Christ, has been written about so much because it offers to us an important distinction that needs to be made when people start considering the claims of Christ. Right, it offers an important distinction for us. So you can know all sorts of things about Jesus, right? You can know all sorts of things about him. You can know and even agree that he was a first century Jew, that he was born of a virgin, that he was raised in Nazareth, sent from God, lived a perfect life, died a brutal death, even was raised from the dead in victory over sin and death. You can believe and agree that all of these things are facts. But just knowing these things is not sufficient for us to receive the benefits of his life, death, and resurrection. No, it's only by us uniting ourselves to Christ, right? Having this union with Christ, trusting only in his works and not our own, asking the Holy Spirit to give us the blessings of Christ, right? And being connected to him and having his blessings applied to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, are we saved? And so it's an important distinction. When we are united to him, we receive Christ's blessings. We are heirs of his kingdom. So do you know that if you are united to Christ, right, you are a prince or a princess? Did you know that? that you are a prince or a princess if you are united to Christ. You are royalty. And so next time life gets you down, just remember to reach up and adjust your crown a little bit, okay? I'm serious. Remember that you are united to Christ. Therefore, you are an heir. You are royalty. You are a prince or a princess of the kingdom of God. Now, this is, for a lot of people, myself included, particularly before I went to seminary, this was kind of the boundary markers for what was talked about when people talked about union with Christ. They say, okay, we individually are connected to Christ, and we receive his blessings, and so it's about him and me, right? That's it. But the thing that I want to do today is I want to expand those boundaries by telling us that there's something else that happens when we are united to Christ, right? And this is part of that cognitive collage that I'm wanting to expand today. When we become united to Christ, we also are united to one another, right? So if you have placed your faith and hope in God and in Jesus, right, everybody else who has done that same thing, you are now united to them as well. It's not just about you and Jesus, but it's about this other connection also that is formed with fellow believers as one body. And this is what Paul is getting at today in today's scripture reading. Now, Paul isn't one who does a lot of illustrations. He's more of on the argumentative side of trying to apply, okay, if this, then this, and this. Okay, now this is true, and kind of keep working the progression this way. But today, we actually get one of Paul's illustrations, and in my opinion, one of his best illustrations. And the illustration is that all of those who are united to Christ are also members or parts, right, of one body. Some of us, right, he says, are ears, right? Some are eyes, some feet, right? We are different, but together we make up one body. We're so connected, even, the text says in verse 26, that if one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. If one part suffers, all suffers. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Right, this is something that we're probably familiar with in our own physical bodies, right? I don't know how many of you have had the displeasure of having a toothache. Right, I feel like for my age, I probably have had too many. So just a living testimony, please brush your teeth and floss. Toothaches are terrible. But what happens when you have a toothache is that there's really nothing else that you can think about, right? There's this one little part, this one little member of my body that's causing me grief. And yet for me to say, oh, yeah, I'm doing great. My tooth hurts a little bit, but it's just my tooth. The whole rest of my body's fine. So who cares about my tooth, right? No, I would never say that. I would say, I'm doing terrible. I hurt a lot. My tooth is causing all of these problems. This one member is affecting the entire body. And likewise, we as a church should be doing the same. If one member suffers, then all are suffering together. To know that one person is hospitalized, that one person is struggling with their marriage and their finances, in their faith, for us to be able to say, that's their problem. Not a big deal. No, that's not what the scriptures are teaching us today. No, we are to be like, no, we don't want that for our body. Because if one suffers, all suffer together. And then on the positive side, right, if one is honored, all rejoice together. I've had the blessing of having a lot of good meals in my life, and I don't know. Hopefully you guys can imagine and think about what's been one of your favorite meals that you've had. Hopefully you aren't salivating too much as you think about them. But one of my favorite meals was actually a very simple one, and it had to do with the fact that I was going on a bike ride with a group of my friends. And it was a 20-mile bike ride. And I know that doesn't sound like a very long bike ride if you are a cyclist, but if if you can look at me, right? I'm not a cyclist. And so I'm riding with my friends, trying to keep up, trying to go up and down these hills. It seems like every uphill is 10 times longer than every downhill. And we eventually decide, all right, we're about halfway through or so. We need to stop for lunch. And so we had, all of us had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I'm telling you, that peanut butter and jelly sandwich was the best peanut butter and jelly sandwich that I have ever tasted. Because it wasn't just my taste buds or my stomach, right, that was saying, oh, we need food. It was my whole body, after having this whole body workout, that was saying, we all need food together. And so while my tongue and the taste buds are celebrating at the flavors of the peanut butter and the jelly and the bread, right, everything in my body is like, this is amazing. This is great. Right? So we, likewise, as a church, are called to be celebrating together at our individual celebrations, right? To know that somebody in our community is coming up to give a profession of faith, to know that somebody has graduated from high school or college, has been able to successfully get out of debt or whatever their situation is, to be able to celebrate together as one body is what we are called to do in this text. We are called to be one body united together in Christ, such that one's sufferings are our sufferings and one's victories are our victories. And so when we think about being a Christian, right, about the church, about being a follower of Christ, we need to think of ourselves as being members or a part of one body. And for many of us in this room, right, that lived out expression of the body is Grace Christian Church. If you were to turn and look around right now, the people in this room, this is the body that God has placed us in to be able to live together, to grow, and to be formed as to a mature body of believers. For this body to function, we need each member to be healthy and growing. And for each member to be functioning, it needs to be connected to a healthy growing body. But there's a problem that Paul is trying to deal with in today's text, right? The followers of Christ that he has written to have forgotten this connectedness that I've been talking about right here, right? We've forgotten about the connectedness we have with one another as Christians, and they have started comparing and rating themselves based on their gifts and talents. And so this has produced two problems. For some folks, they have come to believe they are no longer necessary in the church. Like, I can't be part of this anymore. I don't have anything to bring to the table, right? So then the others have gone the opposite direction, in that they've become what they would think is self-sufficient, that they don't need anybody else. And so Paul dives into this comical illustration, continuing to talk about the body. Right? He imagines different parts of the body talking to one another. So imagine an eyeball, right, talking to a hand or a foot, talking to an ear, something along those lines. And in verses 14 through 20, he pictures a foot, right, looking up to the hand, and the foot says to itself, well, I'm not a hand, so I'm not part of this body. I'm not a hand, so I can't be part of this thing anymore. It only seems like hands are important to the body, and I'm not a hand, so I can't be part of this thing. Right? He does the same thing with an ear as well, right? The ear looks over at the eye and says, well, I'm not an eye, so I'm not part of this body. And I can just kind of imagine the foot and the ear kind of packing up their bags and a little knapsack with it tied onto a stick and just like kind of hanging their heads and marching away from the body saying, you know, this place isn't for me. I'm not meant to be here. And, you know, the rain is falling and all of that. But that picture, in your mind is absurd, right? Because a foot and an ear can't be a foot or an ear, apart from being connected to the body. Now, there's a lot of ways that we can think of ourselves as being that sad foot or that sad ear. Let me just give some examples. Right? We can say to ourselves, because I don't have a full-time job, right? I don't have really any money to contribute to the body, therefore I'm not part of the body, right? I don't have anything. It seems like money is what's important to contribute to the body. I don't have it, so I'm not part of it, right? I don't have my own ride to church. Seems like you have to figure out your own way to get to church, and I can't do that, so I'm not part of the body. Or because I'm in school, right? Because I don't have that much time. I'm really busy. I've got all these assignments to turn in. I've got other activities to do, right? I'm not part of the body. Or possibly, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I'm only on a 3-year assignment, and so I can't get connected to this thing because I'm going to be leaving pretty soon. There's this whole host of reasons why we decide that I'm going to set off on my own. I'm just going to play the me and Jesus card. I'm not going to live in community with believers. But if we can view ourselves as members of a body, that some of us are hands, some are feet, some are eyes, ears, noses, legs, arms, so on, when we realize that we are part of this body, then we can understand that this type of thinking, that we're not part of a body because of X, Y, and Z, we realize that this type of thinking is simply contradicting what Christ is teaching us in today's passage. We need one another. We need one another. The hand cannot function apart from the body. And when the hand is removed from the body, right, without some serious attention, the body is going to be greatly harmed and could even die because of that. No, we need each other. We need the connectedness that is talked about in today's scripture passage. So Paul gives us, right, this image of the sad foot and the sad ear, and teaching them, like, no, it doesn't matter. You're still connected and part of the body. But then he goes on, right, to a couple other members who have had the opposite problem. In verses 21 through 26, Paul turns his attention to the proud eye and to the proud head. Right, these two members have decided that they have no need for the other members. Right, they can just take care of everything on their own. They're done with this miserable lot that they've been placed with, right? They're going to take matters into their own hands, right? An eye and a head taking matters into their own hands, right? That doesn't make sense. And yet, again, we can become guilty of becoming one of these eyes or proud heads. We can say because we have different beliefs about what songs we should sing, how we should do baptism, how long service should be, right? Because we have different political persuasions, different thoughts about immigration, about education, about taxes. I don't need you, right? I am self-sufficient on my own. I am cutting you off. I do not need you because you're just too different from me, right? You're not part of this body, right? Or how about this? I thinking about this text, I know this is something that I personally am guilty of, and it usually comes across as me not wanting to burden other people or spend more time explaining things to people when I already know how to do something. And that kind of thinking of like, okay, I already know it. I don't want to burden people, or I don't want to have to explain myself to somebody and take more time doing that than just doing it on my own, has resulted in me as a church planter at this point, right? I'm writing the sermon, right? I'm putting together the slides so we do a very similar thing at our church. So I've been putting together the slides. I've been designing and printing our bulletins. I've been buying the bread and wine for communion and so on, because I think that it's just easier for me to do it myself. And one, I'm realizing it's not easier for me to just do it myself. I can't do that. And two, that is simply working against the teaching of Scripture that while we are many members, we are one body. We need to be working together in order to grow and thrive and develop into maturity. I need to ask for help and share my responsibilities with the rest of the body, right? You can do a lot of things with your right arm, right? Especially if you're right-handed, there's lots of things that you could do with your right arm. You got your hand connected to it. You can write. You could probably eat. Lots of things you can do, but you can definitely not do everything. And likewise, not one person can do all of the work in the body of Christ. And so instead of having that prideful mindset, verse 25 says that we are to have the same care for one another. And again, this body illustration continues to work here, right? When you're swinging a hammer, trying to nail a hammer into a wall, right? You're not like, well, my pinky finger is pretty small, so I don't really have a lot of care for it. If I hit myself with a hammer, it's not a big deal, right? It's not that big. No, we don't think that way, right? If you hit your hand with that hammer, it's going to hurt really bad. And so you give appropriate protections to it. You wear gloves. You make sure it's moved out of the way before you start swinging the hammer really hard, right? And so we protect the parts of us that need protecting, even giving extra protection to the vulnerable parts of our bodies and care for each part of the body so that the whole can flourish. And this is how you are called to live as the body of Grace Christian Church. It's through all of its members working together, serving together, bringing each of our own unique gifts to the table so that all can flourish. That is what we are called to do. It's how we are called to live. It's not meant to be that a few members do all of the work, right? We don't want some people to be disconnected while other people are getting burnt out. No, we want all to be engaged. We want a full body workout, right, so to speak, where we're all being stretched and pulled and strengthened in new ways so that we can grow into a healthy, mature body of believers. And so let me just wrap it up with giving a few practical ways that we can start getting that full body workout going that I'm describing. The first thing that I would recommend is that if you are not currently a member at Grace Christian Church, I would encourage you to consider pursuing membership, right? And you can do that by talking to Arthur after the service. I think there's supposed to be another class starting up fairly soon. But one of the reasons that the church does membership, apart from it being a very clear application of this passage, is that we want you to be able to decide and declare to the rest of the body that you have committed yourself to becoming a member of it, right? You're coming to plug yourself in, right? You're just like, all right, God has equipped me to be a hand. I can do a lot of serving in the church. All right, well, then we're going to incorporate you into the body of Grace Christian Church. And you're declaring that to the body, saying, I'm ready to be engaged, not simply sit back and do very little, but to be participating in the growth of the body of Grace Christian Church. And so are you ready to be a hand, a foot, a leg of Grace Christian Church? And then I encourage you to talk with Arthur after the service and figure out when the next membership class is going to be held. So that's the first one. Second, we need to bring our gifts and talents to the body. We need to all engage for the body to grow. And having been here several times now, I know that you have a good number of people who volunteer on Sunday mornings. And so there's lots of different roles. And so if you are at a place where you're not plugged into one of those roles, again, I'd encourage you to talk with Arthur about this. See if there's a way that you can plug in to hand out the bulletins, to help run AV. If you're musically inclined, you might help with singing or playing an instrument up front. See what ways that things are going on right now that you could currently serve and engage in this community. Right, another idea in terms of service could be figuring out when the next event is being held. I remember you guys did a trunk or treat event last Halloween. You might be doing something else during Easter. Figure out ways, okay, how can I serve? How can I engage with this community, with this body of believers? And then finally, another way to engage is by letting it be known what gifts and talents you have. All right, so in school, pastors weren't trained on how to read minds, just letting you know. We don't just automatically know what gifts and talents people have. So we do need you all to share that information with us. And at Port Towns Church right now, I would describe us, our body, as almost being like the body of a little baby. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but when a baby discovers something new, right, they're almost shocked. They're fascinated by it. Could you imagine being a baby and discovering, right, you never knew you had a hand before, and all of a sudden like, oh, I have a hand. Oh, and there's little fingers attached to it, and I can hit things with it, and I can suck on them, and I can even grab things with them, and now I can throw things with them, and all those different things that we can find out, oh, I didn't know that there was all these skills available with this hand that I have. That's a lot of how we are at Port Towns Church right now. A lot of the people in our church are new. I haven't met them before, and so I'm like, oh, I didn't know you played French horn. Oh, I didn't know you did slam poetry. Great, come, let's figure out how you can be a part and serve with those gifts and talents in our community, in this body. Now, I know that Grace Christian Church is quite a bit older than Port Towns Church, right? We haven't even hit the one-year mark, but the same illustration applies, right? As the members of this community grow up, as new members are incorporated in, we need to learn what gifts and talents our members have, and you need to share those with the leadership of the church. So, right, there could be opportunities that you've grown to be able to tutor somebody now, right? Some people have grown to the point where they could babysit other people's kids. Some can play an instrument or bake or draw or dance. Right? There's so many things that we can provide and bring to the body. But without sharing that with the church body, people aren't going to know. So I encourage you, invite you, share your gifts and your talents with the body. So three things. Consider becoming a member if you aren't one already. If you aren't volunteering right now to be able to serve in this community, consider how you could do that. What role could you do with that? And then finally, are there gifts and talents that you have that you could share with the rest of the body to help the whole body grow and flourish and grow into maturity? And so, brothers and sisters, right, the very fact that we can call ourselves brothers and sisters demonstrates that we are one family, one body united together in Christ Jesus that needs to grow and needs one another to help in that growth and for us to develop as followers of Christ. Our union with Christ unites us to one another. And in being united to one another, we become people who are interdependent on one another. We need each other. Each member here needs the body. And the body needs each of you. So let's take a moment now. Let's prepare ourselves to consider how we might be able to engage as a community, as different members in this body, by turning to the Lord in prayer during this time, asking Him to guide us and thinking through how can we apply this message of being members of one body. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You that in Christ we have been united together with Him, that we are recipients of His many blessings, that the death that we should have died has been taken upon Him, and the life that we should have lived, He lived that out for us, that we receive those blessings because of Christ. And that, God, even more, that we are able to learn and apply how we are connected to one another because of the work of Jesus. God, we ask that You would help us to be able to think through how are You calling us? How have You shaped our lives so that we could be members of this body at Grace Christian Church? I ask that You would guide us by the power of the Holy Spirit as we think through this, think through how we can engage as members of this body. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.